Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Hello and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week we are continuing to read Dark Spectrum. Last week we read, I growled, I know Reed took them. When I prove it, I'll hold you accountable for anything that has been done to them. Shoving him up against the wall by pressing into his wounded shoulder to accentuate my point, I released him after he winced with pain. So predictable, Jake. His laugh followed me as I disappeared into the crowd. I moved with the flow for several blocks and then got out. I spent the rest of the afternoon making sure I was not followed. Sam had helped me make up my mind. I wasn't going to let Reed get away with it, even if I had to do something stupid, like help Martinez escape from Diagon's clutches to Cherry, so Cherry would pass me information. 15. The moon came out from behind the clouds, casting the alley beside Benny's Diner in light and forcing me to push deeper into the shadows. I was not sure if there was still smoke in the air from the bombing, but I could smell it. The media had been in an uproar since the attack. Three people had died in the blast. I'd been surprised, but pleased that so few had lost their lives. More people had died in the much smaller bomb on Market Street. I hadn't gone to any of the social media websites, but I suspected many people were cursing my name. After today, more people were going to install Spectrum on their phones. Peck might even be able to claim 50% of the smartphones in the city. If nothing else, Reed was helping Peck grow his network. Sam claimed they were fighting Peck. Reed claimed he was thinking of selling Data Raider to Diagon. I had no idea what to believe. And I also did not care. I needed to stop them both. I pulled out my phone and opened the Spectrum app just to make sure it was muted. It was something I found myself doing more and more often. I had no clue how Sam had found me again, but I was thinking of deleting the app. The evening was still and the traffic was mostly gone due to the lateness of the hour. A cab came to a stop in front of the restaurant, and a couple with a child got out. Considering the time, I was surprised to see them out so late. I wasn't able to tell for certain, but it looked like they were heading into Benny's Diner. My heart sunk as the bell on the door rang a moment later. It was bad enough I was out here helping Cherry, but I didn't want a young family being caught in the middle of all this. I toyed with warning them, but what would I do if the Diagon team showed up while I was inside? They were minutes away. No, it was a better plan. It was better to plan on doing what I could to keep them safe. Is that the best choice? I wondered. Martinez lived in one of the residences of the building. If anything were to happen, it should be up there. The danger to the family should be minimal. But if I were cautious, I'd give them a heads up. I shook my head. There was only so much a man could do. I took a deep breath and wished I had not. The smell from the garbage can assailed me like the rank stench of a skunk. It was bad, but not the worst I'd experienced. Even if it had been, I wouldn't have moved. It wasn't my first time in a stinky location and would not be my last. In fact, the smellier the better. The less likely a passerby would notice me as I crouched behind some cardboard boxes. I'd broken the single light bulb in the alley and figured my position was safe enough. I could hear the front door and see the back door, covering both entrances as best I could by myself. I would have needed at least one more person to do this job properly. The back door opened, flooding the alley with light. A man stepped out and looked right at me. I froze. I had not planned to be here long, so I had not trusted to anything but the shadows. "What you doing?" He'd been fumbling in his pocket and had brought out a lighter. In his other hand, he held a cigarette. He wore an apron that was covered with sweat and grease. Cursing, I leapt forward and clasped my hand around the man's mouth, his sweaty hair rubbing up against my face as the door shut behind him. "Quiet," I said, "and I'll let you live." Most people were compliant when they thought their life was on the line. His jaw moved as he struggled to free himself. I got the idea he was hoping to bite me. "What's going on?" Cherry asked through my Bluetooth earpiece. "Do I hear struggling? I'll let you live? You're not about to kill somebody, are you? Honestly, Jake, is it possible for you to go anywhere without causing trouble?" The tension in her voice made me smile despite the situation. It was almost like old times. "Team is 2 minutes out," she said, referring to the Diagon strike team. Grabbing his head in the crook of my arm, I pushed the cook to his knees. I'm Jake Ramsey. You know that name? How could he not? It had been plastered everywhere all afternoon. People in this town would recognize me on sight if I did not wear a disguise. The cook nodded his head as best he could, his eyes growing wide. His attempts to escape or bite my hand stopped immediately. I'm going to give you a 15-second head start before I start shooting, I said. If you make it to the street, I pointed in the opposite direction I expected the Daigon team to come from, you get to live. Are you insane? Cherry's voice was shrill, making my ear hurt. You can't let him go. Knock him out. Tie him up. He'll call the cops. I fished my hand into his back pocket and pulled out his wallet. I wagged it in his face. Cops can't catch me. I own this city. Do you think you can evade me if you call them? I pocketed the wallet. 1, 2, 3. He scampered off, dropping his lighter and cigarette as he did. 4, 5, 6. I stopped counting once he was far enough away to no longer hear me. Several seconds later, he turned the corner. He's gone, I said, returning to my hiding place. That was brash, Cherry said. You're reminding me of why I am glad I no longer work with you anymore. I wasn't certain what had come over me. I needed to get rid of him and had said the first thing that came to mind. My foul mood had shown through a bit more than I had intended. Any more clarification on the strike team's mission? I had already asked her if it was a kill or retrieval. She had not known or had been unwilling to say. I'd made it clear I'd keep an eye on things. I would intervene if it looked like they were going to kill Martinez and I could get away. If I could do something from a distance, I would, but the chances of that happening were unlikely. If I were there, I'd knock you upside the head, she said. Come on out. My breath frosted in the cold night air. I shook my head, wondering at my own sanity for agreeing to be here tonight. I had no backup, and my only source of information wasn't telling me everything. I hated being desperate. I doubted it was a kill mission. Peck wasn't a man to waste a good resource, especially one who had sown so much chaos and discord. Peck thrived in such situations. Martinez had been one of his best tools, albeit unknowingly. In fact, if I hadn't defected from Blackbrick, I was certain Peck would have framed Martinez for Ronan's right death. Instead, it was me. The whole world thought I was a terrorist, and the people who knew the truth wouldn't lift a finger to clear my name. I thought of how I'd treated the cook. It would not be a lie to say I was beginning to embrace the image. I had acted without thinking. I'd forgotten how cavalier you can be, Cherry said, echoing my own thoughts. She was unable to keep the contempt from her voice. Jake, don't let them kill Martinez. Please. It's likely a retrieval mission, I said. Remember what I said. I know, you fool. I swear, Jake, if he dies because of something stupid you do. I tried to speak, but she talked right over me. I have not forgotten you'll only act if you won't risk your own miserable neck. If something happens because you do something foolish, I'll wring it. You done? I asked. My way gets results. You came to me for a reason. Just do what you promised. She lowered her voice. Do you know who I am? I'm Jake Ramsey. I play the cards I have. Yeah, she said. I do too. I just wish it wasn't you. I stood and walked away. No skin off my back. Walking away now. She didn't respond until I'd made it 10 feet down the alley. She took a deep breath. I'm sorry. Can you understand why I am anxious? What if it was Shannon the team was coming for? Wouldn't you want me to help her? I stopped. Remember my terms. I would not tell her again. Okay, she said. Please stay. The last part was quiet. We have less than a minute before the team shows up. Copy that, I said, returning to my hiding place. I eyed the door, hoping that it would not open again during the short time I had left to wait. Resuming my position, I said. She let out a sigh of relief, and I let out one of exasperation. How stupid was I to be waiting for a Daigon Corp strike team to show up, let alone one that was targeting Martinez? Officially, the members of the team didn't work for Daigon. They all had been employed by Blackbrick until I'd exposed it. I'd done research and so had Chris. Neither of us had ever been able to turn up a connection between Daigon Corporation and Blackbrick. The money trail had been very well hidden. But that mattered little. Blackbrick was gone now. After I'd turned the spotlight to the secretive company, every shred of evidence had been erased from the earth. I sunk further behind the garbage can until I was deeper in its shadow, ignoring my misgivings about being here. I wouldn't be able to turn Cherry the way I might somebody else. She was complex. She was not rebellious, but she was never afraid to ignore direction from her superiors when she thought she knew better. I couldn't tell if she harbored ill will towards me because of what I'd done to Beltran. I decided to test the waters. If Beltran could see us now, eh? I said wistfully. She had a sharp intake of breath, but didn't say anything more. I'd bet money she was hoping to guilt me into doing more than I agreed. I thought of what I'd done to the cook. Was that who I was now? A man who threatened innocent people? I tried to tell myself it had just been a momentary lapse in judgment, but I wasn't sure I believed it. If Sister Bautista had seen it, what would she have thought? She would have said that I was facing the dark spectrum. My earpiece crackled as Cherry unmuted her phone. 30 seconds. Her voice was cold as ice. I ticked off the seconds in my mind. 29, 28, 27. The cold winter wind whipped around my collar and into my jacket, making me want to shiver, a feeling I kept from surfacing. I could have zipped it up, but I had a spare pistol and magazines in a shoulder holster. I hoped I wasn't going to need them, but wanted them available. I gripped my primary pistol, a Glock 22 that shot 40 caliber. My shooting gloves had been expensive, but did a better job of keeping out the cold than my jacket. I preferred my bare hands, but it was cold enough that they would have been numb if I didn't. 7, 6. A car screeched to a halt outside the door of Benny's diner. They're here, Cherry said. That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LLC.